Welcome to English Through History. If you enjoy the content, please subscribe or leave us a review. It helps us to create more content and is appreciated by our small team here. We hope you enjoy today's episode. The internet is ever present in our world. For this channel to exist and for you to access this content, the internet is required. A world without the internet seems to many to be so alien as to be unimaginable. Yet, for those of us of a certain age, we do remember the world without the internet. Or do we? The history of the internet is a fascinating journey of technological innovation, collaboration, and societal transformation. And it's been around longer than we think. In today's episode, we will be looking at how the concept of the internet formed and its incredible integration into what it is now, for most of us, a necessity. Finally, we look at attempts to regulate it and why we should and we shouldn't. So, before we start, I'd like to premise the episode with a reminder that this is primarily a history channel, and as such, I'll try to keep the technical jargon to a minimum. But first, I'd like to explain what the internet actually is in its present form, and then we can follow its evolution. The internet is basically a global network of interconnected computers, servers, and phones, etc. They all communicate with each other using a set of protocols that allow all connected devices to receive and to send information. The origins of the internet began innocently enough and probably not from the place you thought. The concept of a global network began in the early 1960s and was largely funded by the US Department of Defense's Advanced Research Projects Agency. That acronym is ARPA. In 1969, ARPA launched ARPANET, the first packet switching network and a precursor to the internet. The initial purpose was to allow multiple computers to communicate on a single network. And this was mainly for academic and military research. ARPANET initially used their own set of protocols to allow their devices to connect to each other. And this was called NCP and enabled communication between these computers. However, in the late 1970s, a new protocol was developed called TCP/IP by Vint Cerf and Bob Kahn. This was important because the new protocol provided a more robust and scalable method for internetworking different networks and allowing growth. Ray Tomlinson developed the first email program on this ARPANET system in 1971, making a significant shift in communication methods and resulting in what we use today. On January the 1st, 1983, known as Flag Day, ARPANET officially adopted TCP/IP, allowing various networks to interconnect, thus forming the foundation of the modern internet. A short time later, developed in the early 80s by Paul Mokopetris, DNS simplified how addresses are assigned and navigated, replacing cumbersome numerical IP addresses with more user-friendly domain names. We can think of this kind of like a phone book of internet addresses, and that made it much easier for people to search for something. Established in 1986, the National Science Foundation Network linked supercomputing centers across the US and expanded network access to more educational institutes for advanced research and education. And here's the big one. In 1989, Tim Berners-Lee, a British scientist, created and proposed the World Wide Web, WWW. This is an information management system to link documents. And amazingly, he decided to share this information patent-free to allow others to freely use the system. This crucial choice created the free internet as we know it today. The first website went live in the early 90s, introducing the concept of web pages and browsers. With web pages come web browsers. We have many these days, but the first ones to emerge were called Mosaic. And this was developed in 1993 by Mark Anderson and Eric Banner. Mosaic was the first widely used web browser, and this was later licensed to Microsoft. Then another browser called Netscape Navigator was launched in 1994, and it became the dominant web browser, leading to what was known as the Browser Wars with Microsoft's Internet Explorer, leading to each company trying to outdo the other with a better product. The mid to late 1990s saw a surge in internet-based companies, leading to rapid commercialization and significant investment in internet infrastructure. This was known as the dot-com boom. This led to stocks and shares in web-based companies and startups. Of course, what goes up also goes down, and later dot-com crash impacted many companies. The internet evolved to support more interactive and user-generated content, leading to the rise of platforms like blogs, wikis, and social media. Sites like MySpace in 2003, Facebook in 2004, YouTube in 2005, and Twitter in 2006 transformed social interactions online. The release of the iPhone in 2007 marked the beginning of widespread mobile internet access, further accelerated by the proliferation of other smartphones and tablets. Increased broadband availability and widespread adoption of wireless connections, Wi-Fi, made high-speed internet more accessible. The concept of Wi-Fi had been around for a while, but it hadn't been integrated widely until the era of the smartphone. Services like Amazon Web Services, AWS, and Google Cloud revolutionized data storage and computing power. Instead of storing things locally on your computer or phone, you can now store data in remote places, allowing for greater access to information and a less expensive experience for the user. Modern technologies include the connectivity of everyday devices from home appliances to cars, created a more integrated digital environment. This is called the Internet of Things. Enhanced data processing capabilities and AI have transformed internet services from search algorithms to personalized recommendations. This allows faster and more detailed responses than if the user searched manually. The intelligent computer system theoretically can interact with us and solve problems not unlike a human can. But as the internet grew, so did concerns over privacy, security, and data protection. Many governments and organizations grapple with the issue of net neutrality, digital rights, and the balance between innovation and regulation. However, one country has both designed and implemented a remarkably restrictive censorship model. China's Great Firewall, officially known as the Golden Sheet Project, is a sophisticated and extensive system of internet censorship and surveillance. The Golden Shield Project was initiated in 1993 by the Ministry of Public Security of the People's Republic of China. It became operational in 2003. The primary aim was to control and monitor internet traffic, ensuring that content deemed undesirable by the government was inaccessible to Chinese users. It works by blocking, filtering, and redirecting certain sites based on keyword searches, addresses, and sensitive information. For example, searching for information on, let's say, Tiananmen Square would be impossible to access through this firewall. Not only does it restrict, but it also monitors the internet traffic and searches for dissenting voices, often using human monitors for enforcement. This impacts the internet in many ways. Foreign websites and services are just blocked, such as Google, Facebook, YouTube, and most news outlets. This, of course, affects the ability to control the news, what the people have access to. This strict social control leads to an increase in propaganda and an uneven information space. To conclude, the internet has reached remarkable heights, from its lowly origins as a basic communication program to the era-defining technology that has changed the course of human development. We are still dealing with how to manage the technology responsibly. For the potential of AI to the dangers of cyber criminals, the internet still has many iterations left.